All right, welcome to the Young Turks. Cenk Uygur, Anik Isparian with you guys. Really interesting show for you guys tonight. A lot of news coming out of Georgia, of course, on Fani Willis. Unfortunately, some tragic news out of Israel as usual, or Gaza more accurately, and Lebanon. But later in the show, should you be popping your collar? So both fun and disaster stories as usual. But guys, especially, well, I guess only if you're a member, but check out our special we did on our 22nd anniversary yesterday. I thought it was really great, if I must say so myself. No, but seriously, I think members will especially enjoy it. So check it out if you get a chance. Of course, if you're not a member, tyt.com/join. And we're doing a campaign throughout the year, Riders in the Storm. We need as many people to join as possible, and that includes you guys. So thank you, we appreciate you. Or of course, hit the join button below on YouTube. All right, Anna.
Well, a lot of investigation slash court related news today, and a story broke pretty recently, about a few minutes before we went live, that I think is worth getting into. So why don't we start with the FBI informant related to the investigations into the Bidens. Special Counsel David Weiss, who of course is the individual prosecuting Hunter Biden, has officially indicted Alexander Smirnov, a 43-year-old who is described in charging documents as a former confidential human source for the FBI who gave agents false information in 2020 related to the Bidens. So the false information is exactly why he is now being indicted by Special Counsel David Weiss. Now, the indictment returned by a grand jury in Los Angeles charges Smirnov with making a false statement and creating a false and fictitious record. It's also worth knowing that the Republicans in the House of Representatives who are currently investigating the Bidens had leaned heavily on this FBI informant and the claims made by Smirnov in order to pursue their investigation. And as we know, they have failed to really uncover any evidence implicating President Joe Biden in any of Hunter Biden's business deals with foreign agents. Now, Thursday's indictment, according to the Washington Post, and I do want to note this story is still developing, it just broke, implicitly argues that some of the most sensational charges Republicans have sought to level against President Biden and his son were based on lies. And the main allegation that Republicans have been kind of throwing out there in regard to Joe Biden was that he sold his influence as vice president in an effort to make money off of Hunter Biden's foreign business deals. Now, if that were true, we would see some evidence. They've been investigating this literally for years now, but they have failed to turn up any evidence, and instead they have leaned on the allegations made by this FBI informant. Smirnov, according to the indictment, transformed his routine and unextraordinary business contacts with Burisma in 2017 and later into bribery allegations against Public Official One, the presumptive nominee of the two major political parties for president, meaning obviously Joe Biden, after expressing bias against Public Official One and his candidacy. In fact, as Washington Post reports, authorities also charged that Smirnov, in talking to his FBI handler, really couldn't stop himself in expressing how much disdain and dislike he had for Joe Biden. And so he would even at one point point out that he believes that Biden is gonna end up in jail. Smirnov allegedly reported to an FBI agent in 2017 that he had a phone call with the owner of the Ukrainian firm Burisma, in which it was discussed that Joe Biden's son was a member of Burisma's board, which by the way was publicly known at the time. In 2020, the indictment charges that Smirnov brought new claims to the bureau, including that he knew of conversations from 2015 to 2016 in which Burisma executives said that they hired Hunter Biden specifically to protect us through his dad from all kinds of problems. Smirnov's claims that he knew of these conversations were false, according to the indictment.
Yeah, so his brother Yakov obviously livid over this, even though he likes to joke around normally. But that is such an old school joke. Does anybody even remember that?
No one knows.
Okay, so now in all seriousness, look guys, politics is a giant mess now. Everybody's lying in every direction. And people are trying to smear everyone, and it's hard to keep up. But court of law is where things are supposed to be decided, and that's because that's where evidence matters. And if you lie, it's a problem, and there's going to be legal consequences. In press conferences, you could lie all day long, 24/7. And I think that people started to believe that you could just lie to prosecutors, it's not a big deal. You could lie to the FBI and it's not a big deal. You could lie in court, not a big deal.
Kind of a big deal.
It turns out, no, those laws are still on the books. And no, you cannot lie to prosecutors and FBI, etc. That is a crime and you will be arrested. And does that make sense? Of course. Okay, so if I came up to you, let's say you're a MAGA dude, and I went to the FBI and I said, oh yeah, he was about to kill Biden, and then they put you in jail for 20 years. And I go, what? It was just politics. I was just lying. It's not a big deal, right? It was just normal political tricks. No, not normal political tricks. Well, that's a really serious crime that I would be committing in that analogy, right?
You're also leading investigators astray and wasting their time, wasting taxpayer resources by making false claims and filing false reports.
I mean, look, this stuff used to be so obvious, we didn't have to bother clarifying it. But now I feel like every day we have to clarify to not just Republicans, but some degree of independents, because it's become such chaos that we have to say, oh, remember guys, you're supposed to follow the law. Like, that's not complicated, right? No, these days it is. So what? Oh, it's a deep state. Deep state, okay? So yeah, no, not deep state. Apparently he's a giant liar and lied to try to get both Joe and Hunter Biden in trouble. I remember a day when Republicans cared about that. They cared about rule of law, they cared about law and order. At least that's what they said. They said it for decades. Maybe I was naive in believing them. So I'm glad this guy is under arrest and I hope they bring him to justice.
Yeah, and you know, as the Post notes, and I do believe this is true, it's actually fairly rare for prosecutors to charge someone as they're charging Smirnoff for making false claims. But the reason why it was the case that he was indicted for his false claims is because he was really, his allegations were at the center of the investigation, right? So it's just a massive waste of time, wholly unfounded, obviously motivated based on his political hatred for the Bidens. And look, I'm of the mind that politicians overall, generally speaking, are corrupt, awful people. I don't care if they're on the left or the right. We have seen examples of bad behavior and corruption all around. So I'm open-minded to the idea that Joe Biden could potentially sell his influence in order to profit off of foreign business deals. But you have to see the evidence, guys. Simply making a statement about it as an FBI informant isn't enough evidence to hang your hat on the notion that Biden is guilty of doing that.
Look, I mean, if you watch the show regularly, you know we're fair. So later in the show, we're gonna call out Fani Willis and her boyfriend who were messing up the case in Georgia for no damn reason, right? And why the hell did you hire your boyfriend and then he's taking you on trips? Bob Menendez, crook, Democrat from New Jersey. Why the hell would you defend a crook? That's what I wanna ask Republicans. Why do you keep defending this crook? Why don't you pick someone else who hates the establishment? Why don't you pick someone else who hates Democrats or whoever the hell else you hate, right? No, you gotta stick with this guy. Look, and you charge nonsense small little laws, I get it, man. There could be overzealous prosecution too. So like when you say, oh, you on a gun form, you didn't say that you had were doing drugs at some point in your life as you were applying, right? I mean, come on, imagine they bust poor conservatives on that. They all own guns, they all lied on those forms. Oh, right, no, that's Hunter Biden. Okay, anyway, guys, for Christ's sake, get back to sanity. So yes, this is a very significant crime to try to put somebody in jail over giant lies, let alone the effect it has on elections, etc. Anyway. I hope you get it. I hope you get it. But if you still say no, only Democrats should go to jail, but never Republicans, you're lost and there's nothing I could do to help.
Well, I think our audience, especially in regard to this story, absolutely gets it. But what I would also say is, in trying to suss out whether there was bad behavior or unethical behavior in other cases where the allegations are lodged against someone who's a Democrat or someone on the left, be consistent about it, right? Be consistent and fair, because our legal system, the way that we carry out these investigations, it's really important that we deal with facts rather than politically motivated figures who just want to go after someone based on, you know, their, you know, political affiliation or whatever it is. And so in this case, there's no evidence showing that Biden did anything wrong. And I'm glad that someone who made false statements as an FBI informant has been indicted. We need the facts. We need to make sure that the justice system is as fair as possible.
Yeah, and it gets muddled because they can bring goddamn politics into it all the time. So, for example, here, I'll defend a hard right winger. I'm already grossed out, but I don't mean a full defense. Let me just explain. So, Matt Gaetz, he might have done something terrible with a 17-year-old, right? Everybody just lets it go, or whatever the Florida did, because Matt Gaetz is on Team Republican, and so, or they couldn't prove the case. I don't know, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, Kevin McCarthy's got a grudge against him, and he keeps leaking information about what is now an old case that Florida chose not to prosecute.
Correct, and we discussed it on the show yesterday, and there was like this big hubbub about leaked text messages between Matt Gaetz and a woman who had a history of being paid for sex work by Joel Greenberg, his associate who got prosecuted for having sex with minors, underage women,
so
girls.
Look, you have to be able to use independent judgment. See, look, I hate Matt Gaetz. And if this really was a crime, it's terrible and et cetera, right? But it's obvious that McCarthy's bringing it back up and establishment Republicans are bringing it back up for a political reason.
100%, yes.
So then you have to take that into account. So this guy, Smirnoff, attacks Biden for a political reason and tries to send Hunter Biden to jail, make sure Joe, that's a giant deal, right? So if you're angry about McCarthy kneecapping Matt Gaetz, you should be angry at Smirnoff trying to kneecap Joe Biden. Just, we're asking you to be consistent. And if you gave up on MAGA, that's fine. But if you're an independent out there, please, please just keep focused on things that are right, morally, legally, logically, right? Mm-hmm. So you can make the correct decisions.
Why don't we move on to our next story, because there has been, well, let's just say the Fani Willis case is mixed, to say the least. So let's go to the next story and talk a little bit about how a judge is now deciding whether Fani Willis should be the prosecutor involved in the election interference case out of Georgia.
No, look, I object to you getting records. You've been intrusive into people's personal lives. You're confused. You think I'm on trial. These people are on trial for trying to steal an election in 2020. I'm not on trial, no matter how hard you try to put me on trial.
A very fierce Fani Willis, of course, the DA from Fulton County, Georgia, who decided to prosecute Donald Trump and his co-conspirators in the election interference case. An incredibly important case, and the reason why you see her on the stand testifying is because some information came out in regard to the lead attorney that she hired for this particular case, and that is an individual who she was engaged in a romantic relationship with. If you look at how much he had charged Fulton County for his services relative to the other attorneys on the case, he charged around $750,000, whereas others charged around $75,000. And then information came out about Fani Willis going on romantic getaway trips with him. And if he is paying for those trips, after she hired him to be the lead attorney in this case, well, there are ethical concerns there. Corruption, self-dealing, you get the point. So this whole hearing is meant to figure out whether the judge believes that Fani Willis should be taken off the case as a result of these conflicts of interest or potential conflicts of interest. Now, I'm gonna be honest with you. I watched the hearing today. I watched her testimony. I watched everyone's testimony. And it, in my opinion, does not look good for Fani Willis, despite what you might see online with the partisan brain rot. I'm just keeping it real. You have a lot of people on the left, broadly speaking, who think, no, this is totally fine. Why do we care about her personal life? I don't care about her personal life. No one should care about her personal life unless her personal life ends up melding into this incredibly important election interference case out of the state of Georgia. Now, with that said, before we get to more details about the court hearing today, I think it is worth going back to discuss the background of why we got to this point in the first place. So Trump co-defendant Michael Roman, who's a former Trump campaign staffer and a one-time White House aide, alleged that Fani Willis and Nathan Wade, so the lead attorney that she hired for this, had been involved in an improper romantic relationship that began before Nathan Wade, before he had been hired by Fani Willis. And that's an important allegation to keep in mind because there was conflicting testimony today. The motion says that Willis paid Wade large sums for his work that then benefited her personally when he paid for vacations that they both went on, you know, during their romantic relationship. They both claim that they're no longer in a romantic relationship, that that relationship ended in the summer of 2023. So before I get to today's testimony, Cenk, do you want to jump in with some thoughts?
Yeah. First, I'm going to quote somebody from YouTube Super Chat here. William G, Atheist number one, wrote in, "They were close friends long before the intimacy started after they spent long hours in the office on the case. This stuff happens all the time. I think it's beautiful." Okay, so brother, I think that you got the issue reversed. First of all, I like your title though. Okay, but a lot of the crux of today was, did the relationship start earlier or after he was already hired? Because if it's after he's already hired, yeah, there's some issues about office relationships, etc. But I wouldn't sweat that. I get it. People are human beings. It's not that big a deal. And you could argue with that, because she's kind of technically his boss, but he's a contractor. It gets complicated, right? But if they were going out before, then she hires him and funnels a giant amount of taxpayer money to him.
Yeah.
And then he uses some of that on her. No, that's not kosher. That's not beautiful. I don't mind their relationship. Their relationship can be beautiful. I mean, it's not my business. You know me, I'm progressive. I don't give a damn at all, right? But I care if it abuses the public trust. But I also want to say to the Republicans, what does this have to do with Donald Trump? Like, if you want to go ha ha to Fani Willis, okay, fine, go ha ha, right? But I think a lot of them genuinely believe that means that Trump is innocent.
No, it doesn't. What they're hoping for, in my opinion, and I'm seeing this all over the internet, is that if it is determined that Fani Willis was in an improper relationship, or that she made her hiring decision based on the relationship, romantic relationship she had with Nathan Wade, well, that means that this case is going to be thrown out. No, this case is not going to be thrown out. The only thing that they're trying to adjudicate right now is whether or not Fani Willis will remain the district attorney or the attorney, the prosecutor, overseeing this case.
Yeah,
that's the main thing.
And so in a sense, she is on trial. So she makes it like, oh, I'm not on trial, but you kind of are in this case, right? Like, so should you still be the lead prosecutor or shouldn't you? I don't know if they can, but first of all, I think they got to take out either Willis or Wade. And I would say Wade. I would reverse it, right? Mm-hmm. And then later, if you want to punish Willis for doing an inappropriate situation where you're misusing taxpayer money, okay, that's a fair question at least to investigate, but it doesn't have anything to do with Trump's guilt or innocence. But one thing that he can do, which sucks, and that's why people should be kind of mad at Fani Willis.
I am mad at Fani Willis. This was super irresponsible.
Because if she withdraws, then that causes a massive delay in the trial.
Yes.
And that's,
yes.
What have you done? What have you done? Why didn't you just hire a normal person that wasn't your boyfriend to lead this incredibly important case?
100%. I totally agree with that. Again, this is not a conversation about the merits of the prosecution against Trump at all. But this has now become a major distraction, which could potentially delay this incredibly important case. Now, with that said, Willis and Wade maintain that their relationship actually began in 2021 after Fani Willis had already hired him to be the lead attorney in this case. Now, Wade says that he and his wife had both agreed that they would divorce back in 2015 after she was found to have had an affair. They did not divorce right away because they both wanted to wait until their children were all 18 years or older. And so they waited several years. Now, the reason why we know about Fani Willis's relationship with Nathan Wade is because there was information disclosed during his divorce proceedings from his wife that was then seized on by the Trump camp of this trial. And they're like, wait a minute. You know, Wade's soon to be ex-wife is now alleging that he went on these romantic getaway trips with Fani Willis. Fani Willis hired Nathan Wade. What's going on here? So that's how this all came up. Now, the reason why it's important to know what the timing is of their relationship is because, again, Nathan Wade, Fani Willis, they say they started dating after Fani Willis had already hired him for the Trump case. But in a sworn statement attached to the filing, Wade said the relationship began in 2022. After he was hired as special prosecutor, and that he and Willis shared travel expenses and never lived together. We'll get to the travel expenses in just a moment. That's a huge part of the story as well. But there was some testimony today that contradicts this notion. Robin Yerdy, a former friend and co-worker of Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis, testified that Willis's personal relationship with a special prosecutor began before he was hired in the Georgia election interference case against Donald Trump. Let's take a quick look at that testimony.
And do you understand it that their relationship began in 2019 and continued until the last time you spoke with her?
Yes.
So their relationship, according to a close friend and colleague of Fani Willis, began in 2019.
That's devastating. So look, if you say, oh no, we started after the trial, 2019 ain't nowhere near the trial. So either her close friend is lying or Fani Willis and Wade are lying. Why would the friend lie? I mean, unless later they prove that she took like some sort of massive bribe or something, I see no reason why the friend would lie. So it's super damning. I see a lot of reasons why Fani Willis and Wade would lie, right? So that was the backbreaker right there.
Now, Fani Willis and Wade, they maintain that in regard to their romantic trips, they went to Belize, they went on a cruise together, they went to Aruba. They claim that Fani Willis paid him back, that he didn't spend any money on her.
This is where it's gonna get ridiculous.
Okay, so let's go to Nathan Wade's testimony about how he was reimbursed for these trips.
You said in the affidavit that you roughly shared travel, though, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So this roughly sharing travel, you're saying she reimbursed you?
She did.
And where did you deposit the money she reimbursed you?
It was cash. She didn't give me any checks.
So she paid you cash for her share of all these vacations?
Mr. Schaefer, you'll step out if you do that again.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And so all of the vacations that she took, she paid you cash for?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, obviously that's very convenient because you pay in cash, you don't have a paper trail indicating that Fani Willis has in fact reimbursed Wade for these trips. And then later when she testifies, she explains why it is that she carries so much cash with her. We'll get to that in a moment, but Cenk, what are your thoughts on what he said there?
This is what the kids call sus. Or they did at least a couple of years ago. So guys, come on, really? So you have to understand something. When you say, oh no, it's okay, it wasn't inappropriate. He wasn't paying me with taxpayer money that I gave him and then he took me to Aruba. No. I was paying him back. The very first thing a prosecutor is gonna ask you or an investigator is gonna ask you is, oh, you paid him back, great. Where's the bank records, right? Oh, I don't have any bank records. And well, okay, well, he's probably got the bank records if you paid him, right? Oh, he doesn't have it either. So what would you make up? The only thing you could make up is, it was in cash. It was in cash, or maybe gold bullions.
Right, and even when it comes to cash, you know, during cross-examination, like the attorneys asked, okay, well, if you like to carry cash with you and you pay that way, I mean, there would be records in your checking account of you withdrawing cash in order to pay him. And she said no, that basically, she has kept certain amounts of cash at home. It fluctuates. And sometimes when she goes grocery shopping, she kept mentioning Publix, which made me very hungry because they have the best subs. But nonetheless, that's a side point. that she would, you know, you buy your groceries and sometimes it asks you if you want to take some cash out, and that she would always take a little bit of cash out, and then she would take that cash home and, you know, she would stash it away. And then when she would reimburse him, she tried to make it seem very complicated how she acquired that cash, and how it would be difficult to determine the money that she withdrew from her account because of the different ways in which she withdrew it. I want to be fair to her and note that that's what she claimed.
And she claimed that her dad taught her to keep.
We got those videos.
Okay, yeah. I think it's absurd. Look, if it happens once, like, hey, you went to Vegas, you want some money, it happened to me once, right? And then you use that cash for a little while, you give some to your wife, whatever, for some. Yeah, okay, right. But you do this all the time and it's never come up before, but the one time that the whole country's watching and you need financial records, now you invent a story about how you always keep cash around just in case you need. Come on. All right, maybe, but like very unlikely.
So in this next clip, you're going to see Fonnie Willis explain why it is that she tends to have cash on her, and more importantly, why she made a point to constantly reimburse Nathan Wade for the trips that they went on. Let's watch.
For many, many years, I have kept money in my house. That money in my worst days has probably only been $500 or $1,000. At my best days, I probably had $15,000 in my house at Kate. Cash. At all times, there's going to be cash in my house or wherever I'm laying my head.
The money that you paid Mr. Wade, the cash, in October of 2022, you do not know where that money came from.
I do know where it came from. It came from my sweat and tears.
You know which job it came from. Did it come from Fulton County or did it come from a private job?
It came from, what are you talking about? So it could have come from a private job, because before I was DA, I was in private practice.
So the testimony would become combative at times, and you got a little taste of that. But I want to go to the next video dealing with Fonnie Willis paying Wade back, because she really wanted to, like, she insisted on sharing some personal details about their relationship dynamic and why it is that she always paid him back. So let's watch the next one.
It's interesting that we're here about this money. Mr. Wade is used to women that, as he told me one time, the only thing a woman can do for him is make him a sandwich. We would have brutal arguments about the fact that I am your equal. I don't need anything from a man. A man is not a plan. A man is a companion. And so there was tension always in our relationship, which is why I was give him his money back. I don't need anybody to foot my bills. The only man who's ever foot my bills completely is my daddy.
Yeah, I would not have told that story, but it's kind of mixed, because on the one hand, Nathan Wade looked terrible
under that bus.
Oh wow,
flat
the only thing a woman can do is make me a sandwich. Jesus Christ, what is that? Okay, but you know, it makes it slightly more believable. She did throw him under the bus, and her saying, "No, I'm a proud woman who pays my own way." Okay, that's the first believable thing I've seen.
Yeah, that's the reason why she shared that incredibly uncomfortable story, right?
Yeah.
To make a point about how she ensures that she pays her own way, because she's trying to make a point to a guy who, I guess, is a misogynist and doesn't think that women are capable of doing that. Anyway, that was amazing.
She hired him and became his boss. I wonder if he still thinks that. I don't.
Yeah. Now look, if you're overwhelmed with where you are politically, and that's kind of clouding your analysis of how today went down, I will turn your attention to MSNBC. Now, we know that MSNBC is notoriously in favor of the Democrats, provides cover for the Democrats, endless, nonstop anti-Trump content. But even with that in mind, here's how one of their analysts looked at the case today and commented on it.
This is epic. This is monumental. If things are going in the direction we think, Fonnie Willis lied to the court, it's game over for her. She will be disqualified. If they had a relationship prior to when they represented to the court, it's a huge deal. I can't overstate it.
And that wasn't the only legal expert who made that point. CNN also had a panel of legal experts. And it seems like people who are grounded in what the laws are and what the ethics are saw today's proceedings and felt that she should be taken off the case.
Yeah. So look, no one can know for sure, but it looks terrible. And look, with MSNBC, you never know. They might be out. Because what happens on cable news is that when news breaks, someone will accidentally be human and tell you something that's true.
True, yes.
And then by the next morning, Scarborough's team will be out there going, no, you really, you gotta remember Joy Reid, etc. You gotta defend Fonnie Willis here. Fonnie Willis is good. I don't know. But the bottom line is, even by introducing this huge issue into the case, she's mucked things up.
Yeah.
I mean, of all of the lawyers in Atlanta, the one person you hired to lead the case was your boyfriend? Nah, that's a terrible idea. And so now she might be in a lot of trouble, the case might be delayed. But again, it has absolutely no logical bearing on whether Trump did it or didn't do it. He did interfere with election officials in Georgia. He did try to fix the election. He did have fake electors. And last thing is, hey, you Republicans out there, you know that Marsha Clark and Chris Darden, the prosecutors of O.J. Simpson, we found out after the trial they had a relationship, and that's why O.J. was innocent. Well, that's your logic, right? If the prosecutors had a relationship, then by definition the defendant must be innocent. Now that logic makes no sense at all. And if you apply it to O.J., they'll go. And in fact, I did today online, and a lot of people are like, no way. OJ's a killer. You're proving my point.
Oh my God. All right, everyone, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll move on to some international news, give you some updates on what's happening in Gaza and unfortunately Lebanon as well. We'll be right back.
All right, back on TYT, Jen Canana with you guys. And a lot of you guys, we started this campaign, Riders on the Storm, to help us get through this terrible storm in digital media. And look at all these wonderful people who already chipped in on YouTube. These are all became members. Brooke G, Mohamed AJ, Wayne Lumley, The Woods Report, Peter Sacco, Sarah Zampini, Nabila Mohammed. And look at all these wonderful people who upgraded their memberships, which also helps tremendously. Mexican Dragon, Joshua Childress, and Toughnut. I've got more from our website, but I'll do that in another break. Box gifted 5 memberships, and Jarrett Williams just gifted 1 too. You guys are wonderful, and we need you, so thank you, Anna.
Well, we wanted to do an update on the war in Gaza, and well, we don't have good news, unfortunately. There's been no good news for Palestinians in this case, but the situation is dire in Khan Yunis and Nasser Hospital. Let's get to it. As expected, Israeli forces have raided the Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis, just a little north of the Rafah border town, which was the largest partially functioning hospital in southern Gaza. Now, the IDF stormed the complex just hours after they had killed a patient and wounded 6 others inside the facility. The video you just saw featured one of the doctors inside the hospital who was filming as the bombing and shelling was taking place. You can hear gunfire in the background. Now, around 8,000 to 10,000 Palestinians had been sheltering at Nasser Hospital. Overnight, a strike slammed into one of the hospital's wards. The strike killed 1 patient and wounded 6 others, all of whom were already being treated for previous wounds. Dr. Khalid Alsar, one of the remaining surgeons at Nasser Hospital, told the Associated Press. Now, Israel justified the attacks at this medical facility, at this complex, the same way they always do. The military said it had credible intelligence that Hamas had held hostages at the hospital and that the hostages' remains might still be inside. Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari, the chief military spokesperson, said forces were conducting a precise and limited operation there. So precise and limited that they destroyed the hospital, but nonetheless, and would not forcibly evacuate medics or patients. Israel accuses Hamas of using hospitals and other civilian structures to shield its fighters. You know, a question that isn't asked ever is if Hamas now knows without a shadow of a doubt that The IDF is gonna bomb the buildings anyway, even if they're using human shields. Wouldn't they maybe think of a different tactic at this point? Like,
it's, look, guys, if you still believe these talking points, you know, after all this time, you lost the thread. You're so biased you can't see straight. So you really think that the 28,633 people were just all because Hamas was hiding behind human shields? And golly gee, and Netanyahu had no way of acting without falling into Hamas's trap of killing those civilians and then arousing sympathy for Palestinians all across the world. It's absurd. And the idea that Hamas should have gone to a non-civilian place in Gaza. And where would that be? And why would they do that? Then Israel would immediately either capture or kill them. But they say these things and people go, oh yeah, they're using human shields. There's nothing, all Gaza is civilians. I mean, when Hamas hides between those civilians, they say, like in the tunnels, or they exist because they're in a house. Well, where the hell else were they supposed to go? Look, you could hide inside of a house in Cleveland and be like, God damn it, I can't believe he's using human shields. There's 10 people in that house. That doesn't mean I should bomb the house. And that doesn't mean I should bomb the entire block and kill everyone on the street because there was a guy hiding in a house with civilians. It's insane to say that you should murder those civilians in order to get that bad guy. It's insane to say that.
If a Hamas militant had, on October 7th, for instance, when they had entered Israel, let's say they go to a kibbutz, if they had entered a kibbutz and they were holding Israeli civilians hostage, would the IDF drop a bomb on that kibbutz? Would they?
I mean, look, if the kibbutz was inside Israel, no way.
There's no way they're going to do it. There's no way. Come on.
In fact, Israel would explode if they did that. And think about that, guys. I know we all lose our humanity to some degree in a war, right? But if Netanyahu bombed a kibbutz in Israel because there was a Hamas member inside, they would immediately get rid of Netanyahu. How dare you kill those innocent people? But when he does that to 28,000 Palestinians, they think, no big deal. And by the way, America, our government, not our people, but our government goes, no big deal.
Totally, yes.
If you kill Israelis, a huge, gigantic deal. And it should be. You kill Palestinians, no big deal. Every day, 100, 150 innocent Palestinians die. And no one cares. I mean, think about it, guys. Why am I so torn up about it? Because every day we don't get those people help, another 100, 150 innocent people die. And mostly women and children. How many women and children are you going to massacre daily? And now we're all supposed to pretend that Israel is a lovely democratic state and that is our ally? We're supposed to pretend Joe Biden's not a monster for caring about his political career more than he cares about those innocent women and children? No deal.
I really question how much Joe Biden cares about his political career, considering how much support he's losing for his unwavering commitment to Israel, regardless of what that far right government wants to do.
No, but remember, his dumbass brain is stuck in the 1990s.
I mean,
you kiss Israeli donor ass, you APAC, you know, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, defense contractors, oh, and they'll never catch us because, hey, mainstream media, Joe Scarborough, go lie to everyone and tell them I'm a saint. Right? He believes in Anna. He really believes that he's going to manipulate and the mainstream media on his behalf is going to do so much overwhelming propaganda for him and for Israel that he's not going to have a political price.
I mean,
he can't read a goddamn poll. He's in the 30s. His chance of losing is around 98%. He can't read a poll. He's like, no, I got this. I got to get Joe Scarborough to lie for me. And I spent a lot of money. I got this.
Okay.
No, you don't, you moron.
So let's get back to the story because there's a lot more details that are worth sharing with the audience. So the other thing is, they believe, allegedly, the IDF and the Israeli government believes that there were hostages kept in Nasser Hospital. Okay, so a released hostage told the Associated Press last month that she and over two dozen other captives had been held in Nasser Hospital. So it only makes sense for Israel to then bomb Nasser Hospital.
Oh, yeah.
Where the hostages are, allegedly. Okay.
Real quick. One more time. Guys, somebody kills someone I love, I'm going to be livid. And I wouldn't be surprised if I went and killed that son of a bitch myself, okay? And if you said that son of a bitch is in that hospital, Would I drop a bomb on the hospital? Who would be monstrous enough? Who would be that awful a human being to
go,
Jake, but let's go kill everybody in the hospital? Are you insane?
Okay, but aside from, look, I already know, we already know. Can we just stop pretending? Israel doesn't care about Palestinians at all. Okay, the Israeli government doesn't care, the IDF doesn't care. And honestly, at this point, based on public polling in Israel, unfortunately, the people of Israel don't care. Okay, bomb away, kill them all, who cares? Let's get our hostages back. That's all they care about.
By the way,
the government doesn't care about the hostages.
Yeah, the people do.
The people do. They want the hostages. You have a released hostage telling the Associated Press they kept hostages at Nasser Hospital, and then the IDF proceeds to raid and bomb Nasser Hospital. How does that make any sense?
It doesn't. It's dumb. And by the way, right now, what did they rescue 2 or 3 hostages the other day?
2.
2. So they're at -1 hostages rescued. They killed 3 themselves. I don't know, God knows how many they killed at Nasser Hospital or wherever else they
bombed. There was one other hostage early on in the war that was
rescued,
freed. Or rescued.
Okay, net zero, nice job. Wow, maybe okay. That's what Netanyahu stands for, net zero hostages rescued. But tons of bombings, lots of Palestinians murdered, so he's feeling great about himself.
So in the end, it appears that they have destroyed the hospital. The video that we showed you early on in the segment featuring a doctor, a surgeon in the hospital filming what was going on. I want to show you a longer version of that video because you can see in the background that the hospital, part of the hospital at least, has collapsed. Let's take a look. So I showed you that longer version, not only so you can see what happened to the hospital itself, but I mean, imagine being in that situation where you hear gunfire, everything is just absolute chaos, death and destruction all around you. And that's not one day in the life of a Palestinian right now. That is every day in the life of a Palestinian in Gaza.
Look, the Israelis are blinded. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters, but if you can't see that this is getting the whole world to hate you, you can't see that? You think that the world's gonna go, oh, wait, Obama hospital. I bet you had a right to defend yourself. Do you not understand that that sounds mental? That it doesn't matter if you don't, and you've never even heard of a Jewish person or Israel or anything. You tell a random person in the middle of Indonesia or Peru, hey, these guys went in and killed 28,633 people. They bomb hospitals. They dig up graves and destroy their ancestors, etc., etc. And they call it right to defend themselves because they got attacked and lost 5% of those people, their own people. Come on, guys. Nobody's gonna think that. Nobody's gonna think that you're destroying hospitals. You butchered so many people now, over 12,000 children dead. Majority of the people killed in Gaza's women and children. It doesn't matter if you think that's the greatest thing in the world. No one else does. No one else does. So I know you're not gonna believe me, but on behalf of people I care about, stop this, stop. You're destroying the reputation of Israel. You're destroying the reputation. And then they call it a Jewish state. So then all of a sudden people are attacking Jews. That's a terrible thing to do. Don't do that. And at the same time, Israel, what are you doing? Snap out of it. The whole world hates you now.
They're not going to. They're going to keep doing what they're doing. Listen, I'm less concerned about how the world views Israel at this point. I'm concerned about innocent people who are being slaughtered every single day. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many dead children's bodies you see lying on the street. It doesn't matter how many times the IDF just shoots and kills an innocent person waving a white flag with sniper fire. They don't care. They don't care. Like, that's the thing that crushes the soul, right? Like, Jake, you talk about, oh, how the entire world views Israel. How do you focus on that when all I can think about is how little the world cares about Palestinians?
Because the people who can stop this is the Israeli electorate who can get rid of Netanyahu. They still have that power. And if they're the only people in the world, because America is impotent. All of our political leaders go, well, what does the Israeli prime minister say? He's our boss, so we're going to work for him. Whatever he says, Joe Biden the other day said he has no power to stop him. You have $4 billion a year, you give $14 billion extra, you're trying to give him now. So you're pretending that you have no power. So America's not going to come to help. That's the bottom line. United Nations, the whole world together, not going to come to help. They can't help you. UNRWA and other UN organizations do, bless their hearts. But overall, there's no cavalry. The only people that can stop the slaughter is the Israeli electorate.
They're not going to.
And so what I'm trying to tell you is, and you could hate me and you could not believe me, etc. But brothers and sisters, you're getting the whole world to despise you.
But
they already hated us. No, brother, I know from the world history. I know we've talked about it 1,000 times, but not like this. Because a new generation, a whole 8 billion people right now are watching with their own eyes. I saw kids being taken out of the rubble again today. They're taking out body parts. What are you doing? They had a guy that they did put him in duct tape. They had him as a hostage, a Palestinian. They tell him to go inside the hospital and warn them that they're going to bomb the hospital. I'm like, okay, at least they're going to warn them that he's bombing the hospital. No, they bombed it anyway. And as the guy was leaving the hospital, they shot and executed him. What is that? That's a human shield. That's a human shield that the IDF used. And you don't mind that the snipers executed them?
No, they don't.
Come on.
They
and
don't.
Then you expect us to think, oh, you guys are angels and the Palestinians are bad guys?
Because they're the perpetual victims, Cenk. They're the perpetual victims. That's it. They're always forever victims. And so anything that they do to brutalize others is totally fine because of what happened to them. And I disagree with that. What happened to them was horrendous. And they shouldn't want to carry out the same atrocities against other innocent civilians. But that's what's happening right now, and it's not going to change. And that's the part that crushes the soul. That they can see these images day in and day out and say, no, but you guys don't understand. We're the victims.
Man, you're so blinded. And I get it. It's because historically, you have been the victims.
Yeah, you guys are the ones with the power now, okay?
But
you have you have the world's largest military power in the defending you. You have US taxpayers sending you billions of dollars every single year, and we're about to send you another influx of tens of billions of dollars. You have the United States government who can't be bothered, the United States president who can't be bothered, okay, to really fight for programs that benefit his own people, going around Congress, subverting Congress in order to send you military aid. But they're the victims. They're the ones who have the Iron Dome, who have military capabilities, defense capabilities that Palestinians could only dream of, okay? And they're the victims, right? They're the victims.
It's absurd, guys, if you don't see it. It's like saying that the American government is the victims of Native Americans. Can you believe that the Native Americans fought back against the cavalry? I mean, what? We were in the middle of butchering them and ethnically cleansing them, and those sons of bitches fought back. Well, we had a right to defend ourselves, so we killed all the Native Americans. We killed a giant majority of them. We gave diseased blankets to their babies so we could watch them die. But we're the victims. No, America was a giant power at that time. We were not the victims. Israel is a giant power. If that hasn't gotten through to you yet, you're the one with the giant military backed up by the greatest military built in human history. If you think that you're the weak, innocent victims, and the Palestinians you've kept as prisoners for 75 years are the strong, powerful aggressors, you have lost your mind. I'm trying to help you as a friend, but whether you believe it or not.
All right, let's take a break. They're bombing Lebanon too now, so we'll get to that.
All All right, back on TYT, Cenk and Anna with you guys. I want to thank all these wonderful people at TYT.com who just contributed or became members. Green 8039, Spawny 500, K Dangerous 007, Lydia Rocks, Useless Ego, Michelle 111, Camshaft 8, TYT user with a bunch of numbers. And there's a ton more people, but they didn't choose a handle. Love you guys. Thank you. TYT.com/join. You could join or you could become or you could do a donation. Makes a huge difference. We're doing a campaign and we need it. Thank you.
Let's read some more comments, Cenk, so we can we gotta dip out a little early. Not early. We gotta dip out on time. So let's read a few more comments.
Okay.
And then we'll do that.
It's just Jess says, I'm proud to be a TYT member all the way since the Obama days. I discovered TYT on Swagbucks all those years ago and fell in love because of Cenk and Anna's honest reporting. Love you guys. Love you too, Jess. Now I will read YouTube members real quick. Benu Nasir, these are all folks who just joined. Nino DeSilvio, Yehudi, Yehudi42, Adrian R, Lucy De Antigua, Tarrant, and Cody Elmore gifted a membership. Guys, we're doing a campaign called Riders in the Storm. Almost every other digital media company is out of business. The only people keeping us in business is you guys. So it's not theoretical, it's real, and we need you. So either hit the join button below, we get 1% of YouTube audience to join us. Boom, we're set, and we're gonna survive the storm. So we love you guys. If you do that by hitting the join button or upgrading through that button, makes all the difference. We're gonna take a quick break here. When we come back, got stories on Lebanon and more.